Welcome to the Thriving Forward podcast. Now to introduce your hosts. Hi, I'm Megan Laspinera. I'm the founder and executive director of Kids Thrive 585 Inc. and a pediatrician in Rochester, New York.
And I'm Sarah Collins McGowan. I'm also a pediatrician here in Rochester, and I teach community health and advocacy to pediatric residents. In each episode, we will speak with people involved in good works and projects in the greater Rochester area. We hope that by introducing you to these inspirational people and their stories, you will be motivated to learn more about these amazing organizations in our region and the fabulous people who keep them working.
Hi, Andy. Today's guest on the Thriving Forward podcast is Dr. Andy Aline. He is the director of the Huckelman Center at the University of Rochester. The Huckelman Center is a national leader in training health professionals to be community advocates. Dr. Aline teaches evidence-based public health and supports resident physicians and faculty in developing and evaluating the impact of their projects. Thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure.
All right, so we're going to start with an icebreaker question. Tell us about something that you're into lately. It could be anything. Food, exercise, clothes, whatever.
Well, when you walked in here, we were just playing office pétanque because we were taking a little break to celebrate because we just submitted a paper to a journal.
So. That's very exciting.
Yeah.
So do you only play pétanque in the office?
No, I play at home too and on vacation.
It's not strictly an office thing that you're into right now?
No. In fact, we rarely play in the office. We should play more often in the office.
It seemed like everybody was having a good time when I got here, so I think that's great. Okay, so what can you tell me about the Huckelman Center?
So the Huckelman Center has been around under various names for about 20 years now. And when it started out as PLC or Pediatric Links with the Community, it was one of the first programs in the whole country that was taking young doctors out of the hospital and out of the doctor's office even to go see what's happening in places like schools and in people's houses and in community-based organizations to find out about all the things that are out there specifically for children and families to help them to be healthier that aren't specifically related to medical care. And that was a big innovation at the time. And since then, that's something that's been required for all pediatrics residencies across the country. And then the other component that we've had also for nearly 20 years now is the care track. And that's the part that I've been involved in the most. And that CARE stands for Community Advocacy Resident Education. And that's about helping residents, so young doctors, to do projects if they want to in the community. And you were one of the CARE residents, so you know about that.
I sure do. Why did you choose this work? What brought you to advocacy as your calling?
So back when I was in medical school, I was actually at the opposite end of things, doing basic science research. I worked in a lab and I, you know, was biosafety level, whatever it was. I don't even remember anymore. But, I had all the gear on. I was working with live HIV virus and doing experiments and stuff like that. And what I learned from that is that I didn't really like doing that kind of work. And that in between experiments while I was waiting for my cells to grow and stuff like that, I was reading these books about the history of medicine and prevention. And so I realized I wanted to do stuff that had more to do with prevention. How do you keep people from getting sick in the first place as opposed to trying to cure them? And so I went into pediatrics because that's the medical field that has the most to do with prevention. And then I was in private practice in pediatrics, and I realized that I kept trying to do little projects to make things better. And so I went back to school and did a fellowship in how you do prevention research. And I got a master's in public health. And then I kept going from there with really getting excited about first doing research in that area, but then realizing, hey, there's a ton of research already that we're just not using. And so the research was very interesting, and I still like research, and I still like, you know, we're playing today because we just finished a research paper. So I still like research, and there's always going to be a need for research, because research is about the gap between what we know and what we don't know. But there's this other gap that it seems like not so many people were paying attention to, which was the gap between what we know and what we actually do. And that's what I got really excited about. And so the CareTrack and the Huckelman Center has been about teaching people about how to close that gap, how to use the stuff we know, how to use the things that are out there to help people right now.
How would you define advocacy in the way that you teach it to resident physicians and nurse practitioners and people in the medical field?
Well, I think there are lots of different ways to think about advocacy. I don't think there's just one definition. I think it's okay for different people to do one kind or another. So the thing that people tend to think of the most when they hear advocacy is legislative advocacy, which is when you go and you talk to your local congressperson or whatever and try to get them to change the laws and things like that. And we do a little bit of that here. We don't tend to do a lot of it. People who are interested in that kind of advocacy, as far as residents go, tend to go more to residencies that are in a state capital. So I think maybe that's the reason we tend not to get that many projects. But we are interested in that, and we do participate in that. And you went to Albany with me.
I sure did, yeah. So, it was probably like 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah. So we had fun. That was okay. But that doesn't tend to be what most of our projects are about. So another kind of advocacy is just advocating for your patients, which can be calling up an insurance company, things like that, advocating, helping parents to connect to resources, a way of advocating for kids. But most of our advocacy projects are actually more along the lines of evidence-based community health action. And I think that that kind of action is also a way of advocating. Because we're, again, it gets back to this idea of people don't realize that there are all these things out there that we could be doing now that would help. So we're letting people know about that. So a lot of our projects that seem like they're not advocacy in the sense of like talk, you know, writing a letter to the paper, sending a letter to Congress or something like that. They are about advocating. They are about speaking for people, which is what advocacy means. So, like your project,
yep, Kids Thrive 585
mm-hmm. is all about that. But a lot of our projects are like that, even when it's not quite as obvious that they're about giving people information to connect to things. So the LARC initiative, which we were just talking about when you came in, you know, that was about sharing information with people about effective contraception to prevent teen pregnancy.
And LARC is long-acting reversible contraceptives.
Yes. So that's the thing. So I'm glad you know. So
I place them at my office.
So the information has gotten out there. But when we started the project, really people, including doctors, didn't know much about LARC at all. And that's a shame. Like, it was there. It's 20 to 40 times as effective as the birth control pill, but people didn't know about it. So it doesn't mean everybody should be using it, but if people aren't using it because they haven't even heard of it, and they would use it if they did hear of it, then it seems like, well, why don't we tell people about it?
Close the information gap.
Yeah, close the information gap. So to me, that's a kind of advocacy. It's getting really powerful information that can help people out to people. And so a lot of our projects are like that. Letting them know, one of the ones we were just talking about this morning is letting people know about how to use SNAP at the public market, that you get a bonus on the SNAP value if you use it at the public market. And you know, that's a good place to go and get vegetables and fresh foods and stuff. So I could keep going. We have lots of projects all the time, but to me, that's what we mean by advocacy.
Do you have any advice for someone who wants to pursue the work that you're doing, whether it's running an organization that deals with advocacy training or just in general wants to be an advocate?
Well, So there's this quote that I'm not sure I know by heart that I use in the care block that I tell people, and it's from Howard Thurman, who is one of Dr. King's mentors. And he said, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive, and then go and do that. Because what the world needs is more people who have come alive. And that's my main advice that I can give people. And that's what we try to make happen in the care block. I had to put off meeting with you for a few weeks when you asked me, because we were just about to do and then doing care block. So care block is this 2-week intensive experience for learning about how to do a project, an advocacy, evidence-based community health action kind of project like what we do. And the first part of that is to help people feel excited about things, to help people connect to what they're passionate about. And that is really important to our model here in Rochester for doing this kind of work. Other places around the country do have community projects that residents do. But in lots of those places, everybody does the same thing. Like there's one project for the class, and maybe they all vote on it. But we decided from the beginning to do something that made it a lot harder for us, which is that the residents can each individually pick their project area. And we did that because if they're working on something that they're passionate about, that's going to be a much better project.
And in the limited time they have during residency, they'll be passionate about pursuing it.
Right, because even though they get some protected time in the middle of residency, which is, working 80 hours a week in the hospital, they're not going to get a community volunteer project done unless they're working on it on their own time. Even if you're just talking about the reading and the background work that they need to do to prepare for their project, let alone going to meetings with people at community-based organizations, that's stuff that's going to happen sometimes on weekends, sometimes in the evening. And it's really hard to do that if it's just something you're forcing yourself to do. But if you're passionate about it, that's fun, and you can find the energy to do that. And so we've gotten amazing projects out of the residents by helping them in that way.
Who are some of the community-based organization partners that the Huckelman Center is involved with?
Well, we're very fortunate that we have worked for years with dozens of different community-based organizations. So we have a whole bunch, some of them that we've worked with year after year after year for PLC, where the residents go out and visit different agencies in town. And then because for CARE, the project areas are changing all the time, we have another 10 or 20 that are rotating. And so it's been running the gamut of the different kinds of organizations that work with kids in town. So things like the Boys and Girls Club, we've over the years we've done a lot with the County Health Department, different schools, including Rochester City School District, the YMCA. I've got a list here with several dozen on them. We could fill up the whole podcast with just reading off all the partners.
So what's one community-based organization that you believe people should know more about? If you had to pick one that maybe doesn't get enough credit or that you just are feeling really passionate about right now.
Well, so one that we've been talking about the past couple of days, because Jessica was over there in the corner, used it for her wedding shower gifts, is the Coffee Connection, which used to be called the Women's Coffee Connection. And that's not the biggest of our agencies that we go to, or the one that provides sort of the most crucial services for children or anything like that. You know, we go to all of these different kinds of things. You know, work with Child Protective Services and early childhood agencies. But in terms of what we're trying to teach about in the Huckelman Center, I really like something like the Coffee Connection, which is it's a little coffee shop that employs people who are recovering from drug use and coming out of rehab, and they buy the coffee beans from places where people might otherwise be growing illegal drugs, but instead they get paid fair wages to grow coffee. And so it's a business that's there that people can go to, and it's a way to learn about all kinds of things that are in the headlines every day as a public health crisis, and hear something that is trying to get at the whole cycle of this problem in a nice, friendly way.
What is your favorite thing about Rochester?
Well, I ride my bike to work every day. And so that's actually one of my favorite things about Rochester, is that that's a feasible thing most of the year. And I ride along the river, and it's just a beautiful way to start and end the workday, seeing the animals and the birds. And
there are more and more bike paths in town.
And there are more bike paths in town. It's been a controversy in the paper because people are parking in the bike lanes and stuff like that. But yeah, we're getting better about it.
Andy, where can people find out about you and the Huckelman Center and all the good stuff that's going on here?
So if people don't know that's how websites start.
World Wide Web address.
Yes. So HuckelmanCenter.org. And Huckelman is spelled, excuse me, HOEKELMAN. So HuckelmanCenter.org. And we have a website that's getting nicer and nicer all the time to look at, and funnier. And so please check it out. And you can sign up for our newsletter.
How often are you going to send out those newsletters?
About quarterly.
Great. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you for talking to me.
All right. Have a good day.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thriving Forward podcast. This podcast was brought to you by Kids Thrive 585 Inc., the Huckelman Center at the University of Rochester, and Rochester Regional Health. To learn more about today's guest, head over to kidsthrive585.org and click on the podcast link. See you next time.
The views, information, and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of their employers or funders.